It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another day of confirmation hearings. We'll give you the highlights throughout the program today. Trust you're doing well wherever you might be. I am your host, Todd Starnes. Want to welcome all of our brand new listeners in Salina, Kansas. And by the way, here's the rule team. We always do this whenever we have a new affiliate. We roll out the red carpet. We break out a couple of more rocking chairs for the front porch. And we always want to give our new listeners an opportunity to get a copy of one of my books. So if you are from Salina, Kansas, and listening to us today on KSAL, and you call in, we're going to hook you up with a signed copy of my latest book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So anyway, so very happy to have all of you with us. And by the way, I did the morning show in the wee hours of the morning there in Salina. Great morning show crew. And I'll be doggone if they didn't ask about Ben Dieter. They're like, who's this Dieter guy? And we had a good conversation and spilled the beans on Dieter. So Dieter Beans? Yes, Ben Beans. We spilled the beans. All right, I'm going to start. There's a story crossed my desk today, and it caught my – I'm not sure why this caught my attention, but it's a weird starting off point on the program today. There is a movement afoot on Capitol Hill among the congressional staffers. Now, these are the 20-somethings who answer the phones, right? These are the congressional staffers. And – they're having a really, really tough time with their work-life balance these days. Now, has Generation Alpha kicked in, or are we still under Gen Z? I'm getting a little confused now with these generations. But anyway, these are 20-something-year-olds. And they are represented up on Capitol Hill, loosely represented, by an organization called the Congressional Progressive Staff Association. And they have fired off a letter to lawmakers, and they are now demanding that your congressmen and your senators drop the 40-hour work week. So they no longer want to work 40 hours a week. Instead, they say they would be much happier, much more content if they only had to work 32 hours a week without any reduction in pay. So they're going to be getting the same amount of pay, only working fewer hours. The organization writing here, we don't want a 30-hour or 32-hour work week to be just another special benefit for congressional staff. We hope that by adopting this policy, members of Congress can help to advance the discussion of a more sustainable work week as a national priority and a model of how it can work for private and public employers across the country and the world. So they want to be guinea pigs. And their rationale here is that Americans are just overworked, that Americans no longer have the capacity to work 40 hours a week. You know, it's always something with this generation, right? I don't know what it is. It really is. I mean, we've got people out there, and here's how bad it is. Everybody's trying to understand this generation. They've got, like, scholars writing papers. They've got people in business and industry trying to figure out the Gen Zers in the workplace. It's insanity, just sheer insanity. It's like you got to have all of the – you can't yell or look cross. You've got to have the mandatory mental health days. It's driving the rest of us slap crazy. That's what it is. So anyway, Congress, which is, I find this to be rather humorous, they're getting bipartisan blowback and mockery here. Congressman Richie Torres says, why not be bold and ask for a zero-hour work week? This is coming from the Democrat congressman from New York. He says, I wonder how blue-collar Americans would feel about white-collar workers demanding a 32-hour work week. It's a great question. Now, there's a challenge here. And it's a, and I think this, the reason why this is bothering me is that this really goes to the root of who we are as Americans. Because for as long as we have been a country, Americans have been known to be among the hardest workers, if not the hardest workers on the entire planet. We pride ourselves in doing a hard day's work. I mean, there was, I remember my dad was a blue-collar worker, would come home and the dirty blue jeans and the dirty white T-shirt, sweat stains, exhausted, just looking for a good supper, which my mom made every night. That was the way it was in every household in America. So I did a little bit of research here, and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, what? It must be really tough answering the phones and maybe, I don't know, filing papers and dealing with constituents. Maybe they're just not making enough money. Well, the average, so we did a little bit of research on this, and it turns out that the Congressional Research Service, they were able to run down the salaries of, these are the average salaries of all of the staff up on Capitol Hill. So let's just say you're like a lowly staff assistant, right? Maybe you're the person, your job is to get the coffee. $57,000 a year, by the way, paid for by you, the taxpayer. The taxpayer who has to work 40 hours a week. The highest paid congressional staffer, around $187,000. That's for a chief of staff. Now, get this. That doesn't include health care, dental, vision. They get all of that on top of their salary. They get a discounted gym membership. They also get a stipend when they use public transportation, when they take the bus or the subway. That's a pretty good deal. Now, many of you are wondering, well, geez, Lou, what's wrong with working 40 hours a week? There's nothing wrong with working 40 hours a week. As a matter of fact, many Americans work much longer than that. Many because they have to. Some because they dislike to work that long. But before the 1940, it was pretty average for most Americans to work 60 hours a week, and they would be working 6 days a week. 6 days a week, 60 hours a week. And again, it was something we took pride in, the American work ethic. But then Henry Ford, this was getting you a little bit of history and how we got to this 40-hour work week. Henry Ford, back in the 1920s, did a study, and he determined that that if you made somebody work longer hours, then they weren't necessarily more productive. So he moved to an 8-hour-a-day work week. And 5 days a week. So nobody had to work on Saturdays. You worked 5 days a week and then you got 2 days off. So that became the law of the land in 1938 when FDR signed the Fair Labor Standards Act. And so they grandfathered it in. So by 1940, it was 40 hours a week. That's all you could work. And if you work overtime, you had to get time and a half. And now you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. But I'm wondering, folks, are we that overworked as a nation that now we want to drop down to a 32-hour work week? What does that tell you? And by the way, they want the same pay. They do not want to take a pay cut. Now, it just seems to me that they're not reading the room here. You've got Elon and Vivek Ramaswamy who are getting pretty darn close to launching the Doge. And you have to wonder if they're going to start looking at congressional staffers saying, all right, fine, we can cut 20%. We can find a 20% cut across the board up on Capitol Hill. So I have a recommendation. If they really are that anxious, if Gen Z staffers who are perpetually entitled on Capitol Hill, if they are so anxiety riddled, might I recommend that we just cut all the full-time jobs on Capitol Hill and take everybody back to a, a part-time status, 20 hours a week. Then they could go work at McDonald's. They could go work at Ben's Chili Bowl, one of the best chili dogs in America there in D.C. They could find another job. Or maybe we could just hire some of these H-1B visa kids. They're all looking for work, right? Why not replace all the red-blooded American kids up on Capitol Hill with a bunch of Indians? All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What does it say about this country that we want to work fewer hours? We want to do less. I keep going back to the pandemic when you had a majority of the nation content with sitting in their lazy boys getting a monthly check from the government. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. You think we ought to lower the work week to 32 hours, ladies and gentlemen? Well, coming up, we're going to be talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn. Also, Congressman Andy Biggs is going to drop by. And we have some breaking news involving the legislatures in Georgia and Texas. And we've got a little bit of a problem here with the Republicans in both of those states. And we're going to get into more of that in just a little while. Right now, going to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show. The national debt has skyrocketed past $36 trillion. Elon Musk is warning that inflation is going to rise before it gets better. And President Trump, he told us it's going to take some time to fix all of this mess, which is why your savings are on the line. And that's why you need to diversify and fortify your retirement plans. And the good news is you can take action now. Gold is a proven shield during very uncertain economic times. In 2024, last year, gold outperformed the S&P 500, hit 39 record highs, and climbed over 27%. That's phenomenal, which is why Priority Gold is now offering my listeners, you guys, a free wealth protection guide. It is your step-by-step plan to fortify your savings with gold. There is no cost, no obligation, and you're going to get instant delivery. So I want you to text the word STARNES, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, my last name. Text STARNES to 24999 or visit PriorityGold.com to get your free gold guide. Do not wait. Do it now. Protect your family, your future, everything you've worked so hard to build. Text STARNES to 24999. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Did you watch the Biden farewell address? Man, he came in with a whimper, went out with one. Joe Biden, by the way, the reporting is that this was not actually a live event, that it was actually pre-taped. If you looked closely, you will notice that the windows in the Oval Office were actually blotted out. Very interesting. Because a lot of folks were saying, wow, he sounded somewhat better than he normally does after 5 o'clock in the evening. Still, he made a few gaffes. Cut number six, please.
Now, his farewell address, President Eisenhower spoke of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. He warned us then about, and I quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power, end of quote.
End of quote. End of quote. Yeah, you're not supposed to read that part of it, Mr. President. Biden also now, by the way, it's interesting if you and watch how this is going to become a narrative from the left. Biden went after a bunch of folks, including what he called the oligarchy here in America. So he's talking about all the rich people. And it's folks, they're going to make rich people the bad guys. And this is what they do. And this is what these communists do. First of all, there's no way Biden wrote this speech at all, right? So there was some sort of a communist committee. They got together to write this speech, and they want to make wealthy people, they want to make successful people the bad guys in America. And Biden also, before we get to the social media, I want to play Kevin O'Leary. He was on CNN, and he brought up this whole oligarchy thing, and he raised a very interesting point. Okay, you're going after the wealthy people. Joe Biden is worth over $10 million. How did that happen? How is it that Joe Biden, who's been serving in Congress since the 1970s, he's had no other job? No other job. He's been on the public dime since the 1970s, ladies and gentlemen. How did this guy become worth over $10 million? How did that happen? Cut number four.
We have Trump coming and all the bad things about concentration of wealth. Americans appreciate the ability to pursue the American dream every day, and we do not push down on success ever. So yes, Musk is rich. So what? Zuck.
I don't think
rich.
The issue is how
and
rich
everybody
they are.
Else comes to this country almost drowning in rivers or getting cut under barbed wires to get in here to pursue their dream. Why do we ever think that we should bash their success?
I want you to get it. Yeah. But let me just say this. It is not about how rich they are.
Exactly.
Just to observe what he's
They're not rich
here.
Enough. Is that
no,
what
no,
you're
no,
saying?
No. I'm saying that actually what got them there, Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Altman, Jeff Bezos, they all got to where they are because they came up with good ideas. They built big, good
Let's
businesses.
Let's punish them.
And no. And they did so largely without having to do what they are doing now. The fact that they have to do it now, I think, actually is a change for them. They were not going to Washington themselves groveling toward the political leaders to try to keep their businesses afloat.
Many people get rich. It's about not letting rich people control the political process and not having our politicians captured by those rich people such
it's
as
fair,
that they can't institute
but I just
regulation
want you to know, the country
and common sense laws to make sure that the people at the top don't abuse the people at the bottom. And
half,
our system in Washington is broken.
That's fair. It's all fair. But half the country's still wondering how Joe Biden got rich.
Yeah, okay. So here,
how did he get rich?
Okay.
How did he get
rich?
Does anybody understand how that happened?
I actually think that, Kevin, your question about Joe Biden's legacy and how he will be seen is actually extremely important. Because I think it's not just Republicans who are asking the question, is Joe Biden going to be looked back on fondly? Democrats are, too.
Yeah, I don't think so. Look, here's the deal. He did write a book. Nobody read it, right? So there's no way Joe Biden made $10 million by writing a book. No way possible at all. But it does make you wonder, how are these people getting all their money? That's the question they need to be answering on these panels. So anyway, here's Biden in his bye-bye address calling for a crackdown on free speech. Cut seven.
I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies. Told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
You know what the problem with these folks, and it's very simple, Elon and Zuckerberg, and I want to believe them. I'm of the trust but verify side of the aisle. And I'd like to think that we are going to see these platforms be a little bit more open, be a little bit more welcoming of people who are not liberal. And maybe they might even, do something with these algorithms that are curtailing the conservative conversation, not only on X, but definitely on Facebook. Maybe that's going to happen. I hope it does. But the reality is Elon and Zuckerberg, they're reading the room. They realize that the Democrats have overstepped, and they also realize, Zuckerberg also realizes that he has overstepped personally. And maybe he's trying to make things right. We will see. I'm not willing to say, let's go hug Mark Zuckerberg and become Facebook friends. I'm not willing to go there just yet. But what I am telling you is that they see what the Democrats have done here, and this crackdown on free speech, it's not playing well, especially with the young people in America. They're getting fed up with this nonsense, and they realize they've got a big problem here. So there you go, Biden on his way out the door. I got to tell you, it was a disgusting speech. It was a divisive speech, and it was a speech he did not write. It was a speech that somebody who has communist leanings wrote, because they're going after the rich people and they're going after free speech. That's a big problem. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. To all of our new listeners, head over to the website, toddstearns.com. Download our podcast, sign up for our newsletter, all free resources for you. Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back. You've asked and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a six-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25. And the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to be with you today, broadcasting on more than 150 radio stations across this great nation. And welcome to all of our new listeners in Salina, Kansas. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
We are doing well. We are in the middle of another hearing for one of President Trump's nominees, and that is Scott Bessent, who's going to be the Secretary of the Treasury. And yesterday, we had our hearings with Pam Bondi and with Sean Duffy. And my committees are busy right now, and we're thrilled to get these hearings behind us and then be able to move to a committee vote and then to the floor for consideration and a floor vote.
Senator, I've been covering this for a very long time now, and I can't remember a time in modern political history where we have had such excellent nominees. I mean, you even got Pete Hegseth and Pam Bondi flipping Democrats, saying, hey, these are good guys after all.
You're exactly right. And Pete, of course, is a Tennessean, so Senator Hagerty and I worked on his preparation for his hearing and then escorted him to the hearing on Tuesday morning. And, you know, he has done a great job. All of our nominees have. And yesterday, Pam Bondi was a rock star on her when she went through all of her hearing. And we had some of the California senators, the two California senators who wanted to do nothing but talk about the past. The senator from Hawaii wanted to talk about the past, but we didn't have people that on their side of the dais that wanted to talk about crime, that wanted to talk about human trafficking and the open border and the gangs that are in the country and the things that the American people are talking about that affect their safety and security and affect equal treatment under the law and ending this two tiers of justice.
And Senator, not only are you busy with the confirmation process, also legislation as well, and you've got two very important pieces of legislation. You mentioned crime, the CLEAR Act, of course, deporting criminal illegals, and also the Remain in Mexico policy.
Yes, indeed. And the CLEAR Act, we're working to put provisions of that into the Lake and Riley Act, which is before us in the Senate right now, and we're trying to finish that before the president is sworn in on Monday. We would like for that to be the first bill on his desk. But making certain we can deport these criminal illegal aliens and that ICE has to come pick them up when they are detained by local law enforcement, and then reimburse that local law enforcement agency for every penny they've spent in the apprehension, the detention, and the deportation of those criminal illegal aliens. And the Remain in Mexico Act is just plain good common sense. It says, you can't come here and claim asylum. You can do it in your home country at the embassy. You can do it in a country you escaped to, but you can't come into the country and claim asylum. You will do it before you enter the country, and that claim will be adjudicated before you enter the country.
Senator, I know our time is very short today. You're making a lot of headlines in Tennessee, and there's a lot of buzz. I just want to ask you, are you considering a run for the governor's mansion?
And we have been so encouraged by people that have reached out. And, Todd, we're giving it all due consideration. I owe it to the people that have asked me to look at it and to consider it. And so we are being respectful of that. We are being prayerful about the approach, and we'll see where it takes us.
Is there one thing that would tell you, you know what, yeah, this is why I need to run for governor in Tennessee?
There are so many people that have mentioned the work that I've done on government accountability and how not only the federal government, the state governments need to go through a DOGE process. And then as President Trump makes changes and as his administration returns power and authority to the states and removes it from the federal government, we're going to have very strong state legislators and governors in order to enact these changes and make certain that the taxpayer knows that they are being considered in this and that we're reducing the size and scope of the federal government and our state government.
All right. Well, Senator, I know you've got to run, so we really appreciate your time, and I can't wait to hopefully one day call you Governor Blackburn.
You're very kind. Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. There you go, folks. Senator Marsha Blackburn. And I am telling you right now, there is a massive groundswell of support across the volunteer state. These rumblings, and I got word of them, oh gosh, over the weekend. And it is now, it's thundering. People across the volunteer state love Marsha Blackburn, and they think that she would be a terrific governor in Tennessee. And I completely agree. Folks always ask, how did Marsha Blackburn get on the radar? Well, it happened back in the 1990s when she was in the state house, and she led the charge to fight against a proposed state income tax. And she actually took a stand against her own party, and the people of Tennessee never forgot that. And they have rewarded her over and over and over again for her great work. So Marsha Blackburn being talked about as a contender for the governorship of Tennessee. If that happens, she's in. She announces she's running. That's it. It's over. Game over. All right, 901-260-5926. Curious to hear from our Tennessee listeners. We've got a lot of you folks out there. What do you think about Marsha Blackburn as your next governor? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back. But I got to tell you, it is big. Soon, Donald Trump will be inaugurated, the next president. Millions of Americans, they want to know the truth, and that's why they're turning to Newsmax. Newsmax is one of the most trusted sources in America for news, the fastest growing cable news channel. And all this week, you're going to want to watch Newsmax 7 o'clock Eastern, Rob Schmidt, his series on Trump's big plans for day one. 8 o'clock, Rob Finnerty exposes the billionaires trying to stop Trump. You need to watch Newsmax. Even President Trump says he watches it all the time. You can find Newsmax on all major cable systems and YouTube TV. Or you can download our free Newsmax app on your phone or TV and start watching for free. Millions are really making the switch to Newsmax, America.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Yeah, that it's sort of the worst kept secret, I suppose, in all of Tennessee, Ben Dieter. And I know that a lot of your political sources, you've got a lot of the state legislature folks on. Everybody's really excited about Blackburn.
You know, and there's been a couple different names that have been floated around as being the next governor of Tennessee. Some that are very good friends of your show. The Knox County Mayor, Glenn Jacobs.
Kane.
He was being floated. We had sources telling us that he was eyeing a run. And then also Congressman John Rose, Congressman Mark Green, both Tennessee lawmakers, both very powerful men in Washington, D.C. The House Speaker of the state of Tennessee, Cameron Sexton, all names that were being floated around. And then all of a sudden, out of left field, Marsha Blackburn. And already you're starting to see some of those potential gubernatorial bid candidates endorsing Senator Blackburn, like Kane.
Yeah, he's already signaled he's not in it. Now, the question is, if that happens, she was just reelected to the U.S. Senate. So at that point, who becomes her replacement? And you could be looking at somebody like a Glenn Jacobs here or a Tim Burchett.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah. She's a wildly popular senator. As a matter of fact, of all the senators on the Republican side, of all of them that are on Capitol Hill, she is one of the most, I would say, as far as social media impressions, she gets some of the most and highest engagement of all senators. Her visibility is, I mean, it's skyrocketed in the recent years, especially with a very adversarial relationship with the Biden administration. So to bring that and translate that back to the volunteer state, if she wants it, she's probably going to get it because she has made that much news across the nation and right here in Tennessee.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting when she was running for, she was in Congress. And so she wasn't that well known in Western Tennessee, aside from the income tax fight, which was, I just can't tell you, that was how much of a benchmark that was for the politics of Tennessee. It was huge. But they gerrymandered her congressional district. And so she was, her district ran from Franklin, Tennessee, to the suburbs of Memphis. It was insane.
Massive.
She's 3 hours.
Massive.
Yes, 3 hours away. But it worked to the it was to her advantage and the disadvantage of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right, Mazie Hirono, is she really up? Did she really ask this question of Doug Burgum? This is insane. Let's take a listen.
As part of my responsibilities to ensure the fitness of nominees before any of the committees on which I sit, I asked the following two initial questions. First is, since you became a legal adult, have you ever made unwanted requests for sexual favors or committed any verbal or physical harassment or assault of a sexual nature?
No, Senator, I have not.
Have you ever faced discipline or entered into a settlement related to this kind of conduct?
I have not.
Certainly not with you, ma'am. What is her deal? She's been asking some really weird questions, and she sounds like she's been popping back some sake.
Got a little crazy. Yeah. I have to be careful here. So,
Crazy Mazie.
Crazy Mazie from Hawaii. What is she smoking? I think that's the question. If I was a Doug Burgum, and of course that's with Senate confirmation hearings right now that are ongoing, I would turn on to her. You know, instead of asking a question, say about the position that he wants, the position that he is seeking, you would think that would be the line of questioning. I mean, that's coming from out of nowhere. Then you keep that with the context that on the House side right now, you have 145 Democrats that just voted against legislation that would deport sexual perverts that are undocumented immigrants / illegal immigrants. So it's so disingenuous that you have a guy, Doug Burgum, he's never been accused of anything. No one's ever come forward and said, I have a claim against this guy, and she wants to make this a big deal.
Unless they know something we don't know. But again, to
it's
your
Macy.
Point.
I'm yeah. sorry. It's Macy. This woman has been making a fool of herself for the last week.
This just in from the House, 145 Democrats voted against a bill that would have deported illegals who commit sex crimes here in America. Are they not reading the room here? So the Democrats are pro-pervert illegals. That's going to be the winning strategy for them. Mm-hmm. All right. Just want to make sure I've got that correct.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you. How many hours a week do you work, would you say?
Oh, boy.
And you're a Gen Zer.
I don't even know. I've never counted. I mean, it's a long shift. Some days is longer. Like, we had snow storms roll into the Memphis area last week, and I frankly slept at the station. So you're kind of always on the clock. I can't remember the last time I logged it. Like, I am clocking in and I am watching my 8 hours and then I head out the door when that wraps up. So I don't know. It depends. Probably 50 something.
50 hours a week.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I would say that's about normal in the news business. These Gen Z staffers on Capitol Hill wanting to work 32 hours a week. They say they can't handle a 40-hour work week.
Well, I'm not shocked by the story, only because I know this generation very well. And then secondly, their bosses also aren't working. Half these lawmakers are never working.
Wow.
They're at cocktail parties when they're in Washington, and the rest of the time they're hanging out in their districts. Which, again, you could make the argument they're working in their districts, but they're halfway working. And they need to get to Washington and work Monday through Friday like the rest of us, 9 to 5.
We could make them all part-timers.
Yeah.
And again, what I see is another argument for term limits. That's what I see here.
Mm-hmm.
Is these folks, they get in office and they know they're going to be there forever. And so therefore, they don't do the job. They give themselves pay raises. They've got far too many staff members. And the staff members are making some pretty good money. I get it that Washington, D.C. is a very expensive town to live in. But the reality is, that's a pretty darn good salary. If you're just the lowly staff assistant pulling in nearly $58,000 a year, that's not too bad. That's good money.
They screen calls and they print papers and documents. It's not like they're a legislative assistant or anything like that. Some of them might be, but it's Washington, D.C. It's politics. It's very similar to the news industry, which is you work as long as there is something to do. If it's not done, you don't care. I mean, I don't know about you, Todd, but like if we have an assignment or a story that we have to finish up or get something to air, you just work until it's done. Politics should be the same way.
Did you have a job when you were a kid? Did you have chores or did you have like a part-time job?
Yeah, I mowed lawns in my town and shoveled snow. Can you believe it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, I could see you mowing grass.
Yeah.
You've got the Caddyshack hat, the MAGA, mm-hmm. Red MAGA Caddyshack.
Yeah. Yeah, how about you? Did you have a kid job?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. Had to mow lawns, had a paper route for a little while, and then we had chores around the house. And I mean, I can remember as soon as I became a teenager, you know, my parents were like, all right, now you got to go get yourself a part-time job. My very first job was sweeping the floors at a department store in our town. And then I got a job at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits.
Yeah.
Man, that was a brutal job. It was a fun job, but it was brutal.
So I think what's happening here is there's been a rise of a term called work-life balance. And I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing to have, but it has become incredibly mainstream and everybody's talking about it.
What does that even mean, work-life balance?
You balance as though it was on a scale. On one hand, you have work. On the other hand, you have life. So it's got to be 50-50. You can't be working more than you are living life, which would entail going shopping, going skiing, going out to a bar. So it has to be 50-50.
So that's something unique to your generation, because the rest of us, you know, we don't ascribe to that yeah. idea. So you go to work, you provide for your family, you pay your bills.
Mm-mm. That would be unequal work-life balance. And so all of these young staffers, that is what they're aiming for.
I see. So hundreds of years we have gotten it wrong, and Gen Z has finally come up with a solution. We work too much.
They would say that, absolutely. They would say that, and they would point to all of your mental flaws, not yours specifically, but other generations who are overworked. All they do is work, and they say that leads to mental issues, mental disorders. This is a depressed generation, Generation X, blah, 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 blah. And we're preserving our mental stamina.
No, Gen X, we're pretty normal generation.
Well, then we could say baby boomers.
See, our parents were the boomers, and they're the ones who said, get out there, have fun, don't come back home till the lights are on. Our parents were sort of hands off. You know, we went outside, we played, we weren't stuck inside playing video games all day.
Yeah. Or try just doing a job that you like, and you're not going to be begging for a 20-hour work week.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, is that a thing for you and your life, this work-life balance? 901-260-5926. I'm going to take your calls on this coming up. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room? My pronouns are Z's and Z's.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American.
Everybody, welcome to hour two of the big show. Some disappointing news from the People's Republic of Massachusetts. The Commonwealth's first openly non-binary elected politician, that's a mouthful, has decided to take off an entire month from work because of his mental health status. The non-binary lawmaker, I'm reading from the Daily Mail, and they actually buy into this pronoun nonsense. And so they, instead of saying he or him, they use they or their. It's all very weird. Anyway, the politician he serves on the Worcester City Council. His name is Thuy Nguyen. And Thuy uses the they, them pronouns. He uses the they, them pronouns. I said that correctly, didn't I? Anyway, he's very upset because he's accusing his fellow council members of deliberately misgendering him. And apparently the mayor inadvertently, that would be Mayor Joe Petty, apparently referred to the councilman as an it. I don't know why I find that funny, but it's just very confusing these days, right? All right, Councilman It. Anyway, Thuy didn't think it was that funny. These hateful acts are unbecoming of a legislative body whose duty it is to serve our communities and to honor and enforce anti-discrimination laws. The mayor said it was a slip of the tongue. He did not mean to refuse to the it as an it. Wow. So anyway, so Thuy is now taking an entire month off for a mental health month. So there you go, the non-binary lawmaker. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas, wants to weigh in on this 30-hour work week we were talking about in the last hour of the program. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I would think, and I think you'd agree, if you were one of these congressional assistants and wanted to get some traction behind this request, that you'd kind of want to get the American people on your side or understanding where you're coming from. And I think it would help them before they ask for a 32-hour work week. I think it would help them if they would show the people what they really do could be called work. Because I think most of the American people don't even really consider what they're doing a job.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically what? Answering the phones, handling constituent services. I mean, I'm not sure how many folks these lawmakers have, but many of them have pretty good-sized staffs.
They're basically nephews and cousins and kids of people higher up in Washington that have just came out of, you know, just spent $200,000 on a college education, and they don't want a job, they want a position.
Well, you know, now that is an interesting thing, because there is, I'm trying to remember which generation this was a big deal. It could have been the millennials. They were more interested than titles and even pay. I mean, some of the first questions during the job interview process, what's my title? I mean, back when I was growing up, it's like, how much are you going to pay me?
I bet half of them, their parents are still paying their rent and their utility bills.
Fair enough. It's I would not be surprised, Steve. Oh, my word. It's just a different age. But again, you know, we talk about this work-life balance. The way I was raised, you got to work so you can have a life.
I'm sure you've heard this term, and especially with your dad's electrical background and stuff. Government job, out in the public work field, anytime somebody was doing something that was either not just goofing off, non-productive, or doing something that wasn't making the company money, they called it, what are you working on, a government job?
There you go. All right, Steve, good hearing from you, my friend. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Greg, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Greg, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Work-life balance. I started out, I'm fixing to reach the magic age of 66 and three quarters, but I started out baling hay, picking and hanging tobacco, picking and loading watermelon, and pretty much anything else my papa required of me on the farm. And those jobs aren't, hanging tobacco, if you've never done it, it's tough. But I've pretty much done work ever since then. And all of my children, I've got five children, they all ask me, said, Dad, after I graduated, and each one asked me this question after they graduated from high school. They said, Dad, what do I do now? I says, well, you go to bed, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat a little bit, watch a little TV, go to bed, get up, go to work. And they said, is that all to it? I said, well, the way to make that successful is learn to praise God in the times between and whenever you can do during those times of getting up and going to work, praise God.
Well, that'll do it. You know, I had to bale hay once, Greg, and I realized right away I better get a good college education because I didn't want to bale any more hay after that summer.
It's actually not that bad. It's actually pretty clean work, baling hay. But, fixing to hit Social Security age. I've got a 30-acre farm, and that's not going to be the hard work. I've got seven grandchildren under 10 that I've got to hang with, and that's going to be the work.
You got to put them to work out there in the fields, Greg.
Oh, I will. Trust me. I want them to learn like I did. You used to blow me away. My grandfather, we called him Papa. He'd say, come help me weed the garden. And there's all kind of briars and things. And he'd be over there with his bare hands grabbing them. Popeye, don't hurt? Not a bit. He was an auto mechanic on the side. And his hands were as tough as nails. Just pulling up the thorns. And didn't hurt. No, it don't hurt.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's hard work, and we've got to start instilling that into the next generation, or we're just going to raise a generation of wusses, and the country can't sustain that. So we got to fix it. Greg, thank you for calling in, and happy birthday to you coming up. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So I have a question for you, and it's a what would you do question. So they're having some problems out in California in this in the post-apocalypse of these wildfires. And some of the videos, the drone footage, it's just jaw-dropping. The amount of damage and destruction is just, it's hard to wrap your head around. So anyway, Gavin Newsom went out there and promised to remove all the government red tape. And he said that they were going to let everybody get back to their homes so they could rebuild their lives. Well, it turns out the governor was lying to you. And there have been a couple of stories circulating. One homeowner, by the way, was actually stopped from returning to his home by the Los Angeles County Health Department. And according to the health department's website, the city health officer has issued an order banning the cleanup or removal of fire debris at what they consider to be critical fire areas. And one of those areas is Pacific Palisades. So California law mandates that you get government approval before you can remove the debris from your property. This is insanity. So now you've got all of these people, and they're being banned from, and we saw this happen in Maui, after the fires in Maui. And by the way, we're also seeing this in North Carolina, where they are banning people from going back and trying to, you know, recover whatever they can from the ruins of their homes. So there was an interview they did with a guy at the Wall Street Journal, interviewed a guy by the name of Ross Gerger, and he is the president of a wealth management firm there in Southern California, and he lives in Pacific Palisades. This guy's super wealthy. Now, the good news is his house survived. So his home survived the fires. Here's the bad news. They're not allowed to go back into their homes. So this guy, Ben Dieter, he's having to camp out at the Ritz-Carlton, which is actually not all that bad, to be honest with you. But the Ritz-Carlton is where this guy is now having to call home, because law enforcement will not allow him or his neighbors to go back to their homes, which were not damaged in the fires. Now, they've got no power up there. They got no water. So he and his neighbors, they hired a private water truck. And the water truck, they wanted this water truck just to be positioned outside the guy's house in the event there was some sort of a fire. So the water truck pulls up to the blockades, and law enforcement says, nope, can't come in here. It's all off. It's off limits now. They're not allowing any of these people back into their homes. So this Gerger guy actually decided to try to sneak in, and he was able to sneak back in, and that's how he knew that his home was okay. It's because he was able to bypass. He was going through back alleys and through the trees, and he finally was able to get to his house. So my question is, what would you do if you were in this situation? You're one of these homeowners. Maybe you lost your home and you just want to get back to see if you can't maybe sift through. I mean, there's no other fire threat. Everything's burned down.
You know, there's a correspondent, I believe she works for CBS in, this would be Sacramento. They sent her down to cover the LA wildfires, and she obviously, you know, reports for a television network, but also what she's done is use TikTok to connect with a lot of these displaced LA residents. And it's fascinating because she's blown up on this social media site, and all of these displaced homeowners are asking this reporter, who has the press access, she just has to show law enforcement her press badge. And they open up those barricades, and members of the press can go to those areas where homeowners are not able to. So they've got reporters running around, and this is actually where the press comes in a positive light. She has been going to zip code after zip code with her cameraman, the photog, and going to those zip codes and confirming on TikTok whether that home has been burnt to the ground or was saved, and she's blown up, getting millions and millions of views and impressions. and is really the only access that these displaced people are getting into those unauthorized zones, Todd.
It does make you wonder, though, at what point is there government overreach? You know, there's nothing else left. Let these people back in to their homes and their property. And the other big concern is, for the homes that did not burn, you've got all these looters. And there's a report out of Altadena where 30 armed homeowners defied the evacuation orders, and they stayed, and they're protecting their homes not only from the looters but also the flare-ups. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll play that local report there. But what would you do if the government came in and said, you're not allowed to go back to your home? What would you do? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's radio program. Let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Gregory in Beaufort, North Carolina. What's on your mind today?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, great to hear you. I'm on the coast here in North Carolina. I'm calling in reference to what happened in the mountains of North Carolina and what went on with FEMA there in correlation to what's gone on in California and the Palisades area with burning down. So I'm wondering, shouldn't the people that live in those houses receive a $750 check like the people in the mountains of North Carolina received, if they received anything? And also to the point, in North Carolina, they're not allowing those people back into their properties. They're not allowing them to rebuild anything. Seems like a land grab to me by the government. They need to mine the mountains of North Carolina, and I don't know what they have planned for the Palisades area of California, but it's probably not letting them rebuild.
Well, I've heard those reports, Gregory, and yesterday on my Newsmax TV show, I had Congressman Mark Harris, and he confirmed that FEMA actually sent letters out telling these storm survivors they had to vacate these motel rooms, that people are not getting the aid or the assistance they need. Meanwhile, you've got the liberal governor going out there, taking photographs and posting photos of him eating in barbecue joints. The Democrats are, again, failing the good people of Western North Carolina.
And it's not just North Carolina, but you're talking about Tennessee, North Carolina. You're talking about a multi-state area. They talk very little about that now. Of course, California and movie stars are getting all the highlights. And the people in North Carolina are in tents. Do you realize how cold it is in the mountains of North Carolina right now? Well, you do because you're in Tennessee. But that's just been something on my mind that seems to be reoccurring in government overreach. Once they displace you, you have nowhere to go. And let's be honest, a $750 check when you've lost your home is
nothing.
Slap in the face.
It is a slap in the face. It is absolutely a slap in the face. Well, Gregory, what a great call. Well done. First time on the air. Give us a holler back, and thank you for listening to us there in North Carolina. But it is a slap in the face. Let's go to Vicki in Moorhead City, North Carolina. Hi, Vicki. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to let you know, I worked for the Secretary of State. I quit out of boredom years ago.
Wait, what?
I quit because I was bored. I did not. There's only so many soap operas you can watch a day, and people who don't, they have entirely way too many people, Todd, and they don't work.
Wait, Vicki, you're telling me that you would watch soap operas while you were on the job?
Well, yeah, because your phones don't ring all the time, so you get bored, and they have your television. Now, at least they did, in the state of Georgia had your little television there, but they had like six girls and one girl could have done the job. And as far as this 32-hour week work week, that's considered part-time work. And then you would not qualify, as far as I see, to have all these
the benefits,
other stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the benefits.
Yeah,
and then go ahead.
I'm with you, Vicki. They don't even want to take a pay cut. They want the 40-hour week paycheck, but they only want to work 32 hours a week.
Yeah. Well, they digitized the post office, and my carrier lost $18,000 a year. And they only get paid for the work they do. In other words, if you get so many pieces of mail a day, that's all you're getting paid for that day. And it downsized carriers to what they call a K route. And my carrier was probably a 42-hour work week. And she's now has to work every other Saturday. So two weeks out of the month, she has to work 6 days. So, you know, I would say, just let the DOGE people get a hold of all this waste in government and these workers. They'll stop complaining real quick.
Mm. And Vicki, I got to run. We're heading off to a break. But thank you for the intel there. Not to mention, you know, that a lot of those lawmakers have their own private bartenders up there. Maybe they should just have one central, you know, watering hole. That could save a few dollars. All right, hang tight, folks. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go right to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926, Vera from Georgia. Hi, Vera. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, Vera. Thank you for asking.
Well, we are too, but we still have a lot of dangerous frozen snow on the ground.
Oh, boy. That's not good.
Yeah, we really got quite a snow. Todd, I want to talk to you about something that many of us in this area believe and have reason to believe, because the people in this area stay. They don't move around like other people. They get their little place and they hide away in it.
Oh, sure, yes.
The mountains of North Carolina are very, very rich with minerals, very rich. And the floods took the top off of a lot of that. And now it is much easier to mine it. And a lot of us believe that that's what the government is going to do. When I moved to Georgia, we had to go through some special things because our house sat on an old gold mine. And it's no longer there, but there's a creek that runs right by my house. And we used to pan and get specks of gold in it. And I have a office chair that was hewn out of a tree. They made it till it turns and everything. And it came out of one of the gold mines here. And one of the gold mine offices. And there's just a lot of stuff. The people that know about them can go back in, and they're rich with things. And it's just really something. It's not widely known, but the mountains over there, this is widely known, that the mountains over there are full of minerals.
Vera, I believe that, and I've heard those concerns and those reports, and it does make you wonder, because they're not allowing these people back in, and there's pressure being made for them to sell whatever property they have. And you're right, Vera. The mountain folks, especially in that part of the country, are very insular folk. They're pretty self-sufficient. They want to be able to take care of themselves. They're not looking for a government handout. And yet there could be some nefarious people trying to take advantage of what has been a very horrible situation.
Yep. Well, you know, and the government is like
people here are having accidents one after the other. The police come to the accident. They say, well, you know, what happened? Well, if somebody slid on ice, there's no fault. They don't charge anybody with the accident. Well, that's kind of how it is over there. You know, if you flood like that, the government, hey, we can't help it, you know. And we can't allow you to rebuild, though, because the ground isn't safe. That's what they're telling some of them. The ground isn't safe. It'll flood again. They're wanting the people to leave.
All right, Vera, we're going to be paying close attention to all of this, so don't you worry about that, and we're going to hold these people accountable. We're not going to let them get away with any sort of land grabs, I can promise you that. Vera, thank you for that call. By the way, you folks in Atlanta, there is some crazy stuff happening right now inside your state capitol. A Georgia state senator today was arrested. He's in jail. He is an America First guy. His name is State Senator Colton Moore from Trenton, which is right outside of Chattanooga. Anyway, he was banned from entering the House chambers during Governor Brian Kemp's State of the State address. Well, that doesn't make any sense. It's a State of the State address, meaning all duly elected lawmakers should be allowed inside. But all of this apparently stems from, by the way, Colton Moore is the guy that was pushing for investigations into Fannie Willis. He was not a big fan of the establishment Republicans there in the Georgia State House. Last year, State Senator Moore was banished from stepping foot on the Georgia House floor. After he tried to get into the chamber, Moore was removed by the Georgia State Patrol. He was literally thrown to the ground today. This is all on video. And he was hauled off in handcuffs because he tried to enter. The doorkeeper blocked the door. The state senator said at the time, this is a joint session of the assembly. Your house rules do not apply. I'm going into the chamber. And the doorkeeper said, no, you're not. They got into a big struggle. State patrol got involved. And now the pro-Trump lawmaker is in jail. So all of this stems from Moore making some disparaging comments about the late House Speaker David Ralston. There was the Senate was considering a resolution to name a building at the university after the dead lawmaker. Moore then urged lawmakers not to approve the name change and blasted his work as a lawyer and a politician, calling him one of the most corrupt Georgia leaders in his lifetime. Well, it turns out the Ralston relatives were actually watching all of this from the Senate balcony, and the people became very upset. In other words, there's just a lot of bad blood all around. But this is absolutely insanity. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Colton Moore is now in custody, and the Georgia Republican Party is weighing in on all of this. Josh McCoons is the new head of the party, and he is speaking out saying this is just outrageous that he would be. I want to read this statement to you from the Georgia Republican Party. This is all unfolding in real time here. Republicans believe in our constitutional form of government. Usually, on a few occasions each year, the Georgia House and the Georgia Senate meet in a joint session to conduct legislative business. Today was one of those days, as our governor provided a report on state government to the legislature. No duly elected member of the state house or state senate, regardless of party or position on an issue, should be denied the opportunity to represent the people who elected them at any such joint session, wherever it is taking place. I am deeply disappointed that Senator Moore was denied admission and shocked that he was subjected to arrest for attempting to attend the joint session today after being physically manhandled. It was not only legally appropriate to admit him to today's proceedings, it was simply the right thing to do. Our focus should be on the excellent agenda being outlined by Governor Kemp today to make Georgia the best place in the country to live, work, and raise a family, not internal conflicts. So what's going on here? The same thing that's happening in Georgia is happening in Texas right now, where the rhinos are conspiring with the Democrats, even though there's a Republican majority in the Texas legislature. seems like the same thing is going on here to some extent in Georgia. And I get it. Senator Moore may be, and I know these guys. Senator Moore may be a jerk. He may be offensive, but he is a duly elected member of the state house. So you can't kick the guy out, and especially a member of your own freaking party, for crying out loud. What are these Republicans doing? Many people, though, are siding with Senator Moore and Cliff Maloney, right? This guy writing on X, Colton Moore is a patriot. Oh, some people are wondering if the Republican Party is going to post bail. It's a good question. Now, this David Ralston guy, he had a checkered past. It wasn't like Colton Moore was just saying, oh, this guy's a sleazeball. I mean, even though he's dead, God rest his soul. Here's the headline from one of the Atlanta television stations. Republican state leaders call for Speaker David Ralston to resign. They're saying that he made, during his time as leader, he made 81 requests to delay 202 court dates for motion hearings, calendar calls, and jury trials on behalf of 19 of his clients. So it really does make you wonder what the heck is going on inside the state house that they would, that Republicans would order the arrest of one of their own. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Georgia. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we're following this breaking news out of the Georgia State Capitol, where a pro-Trump senator, Colton Moore, was ordered arrested by the Republican Speaker of the House. Apparently, Senator Moore was banned from the room, the chamber, because he said some very unkind things about another about a rhino, a dead rhino lawmaker by the name of David Ralston. And now Senator Moore, he was manhandled, shoved to the ground. He was arrested and taken off to jail. Now, let's go to the phone lines here. Tom in Oakwood, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Tom, help me make sense of what's going on here.
All I can tell you, this is a patriot that is being tarred and feathered because of his strong beliefs. I've known Colton Moore for a couple of years, and his involvement in the Freedom Caucus here in Georgia, which is very small, we're trying to grow it, has been unprecedented. We did a fundraiser for those 18 that was indicted. Colton is a professional auctioneer. He did the auction items that night here in Banks County, Georgia, and we raised $30,000+ for the indicted of that whole witch hunt. All he put together legislation after Connie Willis. He was reprimanded by the state senate.
Well, no, sir. He was kicked out of the Republican caucus for doing that.
But I'm saying it's just chapter. And then the things he said about David Ralston were all true. He was so crooked they could have screwed him in the ground. But he had so much power, and this now we're going to have going forward in Georgia. In my mind, we have Kemp and his $200 million slush fund, and he basically is running roughshod over true elected officials in Georgia.
Well, again, it goes back to something we have, and we've seen this happen in Georgia with the old lieutenant governor turned out to be a leftist, really a closet Democrat. You're going to have this, and we're seeing this play out in also in Texas right now, where the Republican Party is divided between the rhinos and the true conservatives. And, you know, from all indications, and I get it, the guy may have been rude on the day they were honoring David Ralston. I get that. But is that a crime? Is that enough to kick a guy out of his duly elected spot in the state house?
They wanted to name a government Ralston. Colton Moore was the only no vote. But he went on to say, why would we do this? Because of this man's history, his legal practices, all these things that were so corrupt.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great question, Tom. I appreciate the intel. I mean, this is shocking, and it's becoming a national news story. Just the images of a rhino speaker of the House ordering the arrest. And Tom, I don't know if you've seen the video, but man, they put him on the ground, this state senator.
I've already seen one of my good activist friends has already written a letter to Burns demanding his resignation because he is no longer abiding by the Georgia state constitution.
Mm, wow. All right. We're going to keep an eye on this one. Tom, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Governor Brian Kemp's going to have to address this. I mean, there's really no other way around it. But again, reading from this is from the Associated Press reporting, Moore was banned from the House floor after launching an attack on David Ralston, who died in 2022. It happened on the same day that Ralston was being honored in the chambers. Following the remarks, the Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones cut Moore off, telling him, Senator, not the time or place. The top-ranking Republican senator, the President Pro Tem John F. Kennedy of Macon, took to the floor to apologize to Ralston's family, saying he and other senators felt sincere embarrassment at Moore's conduct. And again, it may be bad conduct. But is that worth what happened today? Does that justify what happened out, you know, at the Capitol today? Ralston's successor, Republican House Speaker John Burns, eventually denounced Moore's remarks as some of the vilest that you can make about a good man. After that, the AP says he ordered the House doorkeepers to keep Moore from entering. It's not the only time Moore has drawn the ire of his fellow constituents. AP reporting also notes that Moore was kicked out of the Senate Republican caucus after launching attacks against other Republicans for not agreeing with his call for a special session. He specifically wanted to go after Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis for her indictment against President Trump. So I guess I would have a question here. Why is it that the Republicans there in the Georgia State House refused to stand up and defend Donald Trump? Why is it that the Republicans in the State House in Georgia, when given the opportunity to go after Fannie Willis, took a pass and then punished the guy who called him out? That doesn't make any sense to me. But again, it goes back to a central truth that's getting a little bit lost right now in the fog of the inauguration. Is that the Republican Party really has not changed all that much. The Republican Party is still the Republican Party. What happened was you had a bunch of populists and other groups hijack the Republican Party to get Donald Trump and the America First agenda elected. That's what happened. You say, Todd, how do you know that? It's very simple. Look at the congressional races. Look at the House races. Look at the Senate races. The Republicans running as Republicans barely won. They barely held on to their majorities. They barely reclaimed control of the U.S. Senate. And that tells me right now that the American people, they're still unhappy with the way the Republicans are running things. But they have faith in Donald J. Trump, which is why Trump has a mandate from the American people. And you better wake up, Republicans. You better wake up. And I suspect come the midterms, we're going to see a lot of these rhinos getting primaried. And whoever is responsible for sending Colton Moore to the big house today, I guarantee you those folks are going to be facing some primary challenges. This is just, it's unbelievable. Republican on Republican violence, and of all places, the state of Georgia. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. We're going to be going to your calls coming up in the next hour. Also, Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona is going to drop by. We're going to have the very latest on that vote to, again, the Democrats wanting to protect illegal aliens convicted of sex crimes. It is a crazy world out there, ladies and gentlemen, an absolutely crazy world. In the meantime, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Read our story. I've got a column up on all of these Gen Z staffers now wanting to lower the work day on Capitol Hill. It's a funny. You're going to laugh. There are a couple of good funny lines in there. All right, folks, hang tight. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
The Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Man, things are getting crazy over there in Georgia. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. And as we were sharing with you at the end of the last hour, today is Governor Brian Kemp's State of the State address, and that's when all the lawmakers get together in the House chamber. Even they bring the senators over, everybody crowds in, and then they cheer for Governor Brian Kemp. So there was just one hiccup. There was a state senator by the name of Colton Moore, who is a MAGA, America First, pro-Trump lawmaker in the state Senate. He drew the ire of party leaders by condemning a very well-respected, in some circles, fellow Republican who had died. So anyway, the long story short, the state senator was banned from the House chamber. He was not allowed in. When he tried to go in today, he was barred, he was manhandled, all on video, thrown to the ground in his suit. And then the Georgia State Patrol surrounded him and arrested the man and sent him off to jail. And we believe he is still in the big house. Many people are wondering if the Republican Party in Georgia is going to post bail. We do know the state Republican Party has issued a statement condemning what had happened and saying there was no reason for the senator to be physically manhandled or denied admission, because he was representing his district at the State of the State address. Well, real quick, I want to go to James listening to us on WTJS in Jackson, Tennessee area to weigh in on this. James, what's your take on that?
Well, it's kind of interesting, because if this the representative had a constitutional legal right to be there and he was barred from doing that, the person's responsible. Doesn't matter if it's a speaker or the person at the door or whatever, as a universal service code violation, is called deprivation of rights under color of law. And they can be held liable and sued individually under that statute.
You know, there is something to that, James. And I will say this. It seems to me the people who ought to be especially enraged are the folks in that guy's district over in Trenton, Georgia, near the Tennessee state line. Those are the people that were disenfranchised because their duly elected state senator was not only thrown out of the House chamber, or he really wasn't even allowed in there, but now he's in jail.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, James, thank you for that call. Let's go to Athens, Georgia. Carrie on the line. Carrie, what is going on in that state legislature? Hello, Carrie.
Hey, I hit a dead spot. I'm on my cell phone.
Carrie, you're coming in loud and clear. What's your take on what happened to Senator Colton Moore?
Yes, we don't have, it seemed like we don't have protected speech anymore.
Yeah, all right, Carrie, I think we got a bad spot. Yeah, Carrie is indeed in a bad cell spot there. Give us a call back, Carrie. But it's not a good look. It is not a good look. And as near as I can tell, it is not a crime to be a jerk. And I'm not sure that qualifies to kicking a lawmaker out of the state house. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have with us Dalton Glasscock with us, the CEO of my company. Dalton, I know that were you at the state house today? I saw some photos circulating.
I was at the Kansas State House. yesterday evening for our governor's State of the State address.
And any Republicans get arrested or thrown out of the building?
We're not as rambunctious as you all in the South are. Kansas, we like to work together, and we're just far kinder, I'm going to say. So this is a war between the Midwest and the South now.
Wow, yeah, it is. It's ugly. And again, I think the people are going to have to come to terms with differences and changes that are happening in the party, in the Republican Party. And if they don't, they're going to lose elections. You got to unify at some point.
We do. We have to work together towards the same common aims and objectives. We also have to be respectful, too. And that seems that that's something that Senator doesn't know much about either. But we have to be respectful to colleagues and people we disagree with as well.
All right, a couple of big stories that have been percolating, and this one, I don't know why this bothers me so much, but there's a group representing a lot of the congressional staffers. They are now calling for the end of a 40-hour work week because they say they just can't handle it. You know, they got to have that work-life balance. And so now they're proposing a 32-hour work week with the same pay that they would have gotten for a 40-hour work week. What say you?
Wild to do that when Republicans have control of the House, first off. Second off, I was a former congressional staffer, and I know how much people in Washington, D.C. work, and there's very few people working a 40-hour work week. And lastly...
Wait. So you're telling me there's... I mean, these guys are not overworked. Is that what you're telling me?
No, the job, I mean, it depends on the member. Some members do work their staffers more than other members. But actually, there's honestly no such thing as a 40-hour work week. When I worked for the congressman, when the congressman was there, I was there. When the congressman was gone, I wasn't there. And I had a congressman that was a hard worker, Congressman Estes out of the great state of Kansas. And when the congressman was in the office, I was in the office. And I can guarantee you it was more than 40 hours a week.
We had a lady call in from North Carolina, and she's retired now, but she worked for a state office, and she said that she spent a good amount of her time watching soap operas on the call. She said the phones just didn't ring a lot.
Well, our phones rang, and we actively engaged citizens, I did constituent services, military and veteran affairs, and so I was often talking to people, but I can imagine that on the other side of the aisle, there might be some staffers not working 40 hours a week.
All right. Well, somebody needs to call Elon and Vivek and give them a heads up. I think we can save about, knock off, 20% of their salary. Save some money.
There are plenty of hourly jobs hiring in the country if they want to work 32 hours a week. They can find an hourly job that does that.
So I understand you're going to be at the inauguration. Is that right?
I am. I leave on Saturday morning and will be there for the weekend attending some of the inaugural parties. And then Monday, I'll be there for the 60th inauguration of the United States.
Are they giving you guys good seats, the Kansas contingent?
I hope so. Back in 2016, when I was at the inauguration, I had seated seats. I don't think I'm going to get that lucky this year. I may have to stand. But it's one of the most patriotic moments in America, just attending inauguration.
They're saying 25,000 police officers, law enforcement there, and I saw some drawings of the security measures. The entire district's going to be on lockdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most secure event in the world. Wichita, where I'm from, is sending 40 of our police officers to the inauguration to also help in the efforts as well. So it's a joint effort across the country to be able to make sure that one of the peaceful transition of power, the cornerstone of American democracy, is protected.
I'm curious to get your take on the nominations, the confirmation hearings. And I find it very fascinating that folks like Pete Hegseth, who is probably aside from RFK, probably one of the most controversial. And yet you had Democrats on the Senate Armed Services Committee, actually saying, you know what? Hegseth did a great job. Pam Bondi did a great job.
Well, people should be judged by their merits, and if they do a good job in the confirmation hearing, they should be confirmed, and if they fail the confirmation hearing, then perhaps the president should appoint someone else. But of all the confirmation hearings that I've seen so far, it seems that all of his appointees are excelling and that they'll do good in their positions representing the United States and representing President Trump's administration and his policies and views as well.
Dalton Glasscock with us running. He runs my media company, also Wichita City Councilman. A lot of our listeners on KQAM, the big talker in Wichita. Dalton, you look at the president's agenda. How How much time do you think the president's going to have? I mean, you know, he didn't get a honeymoon in 2016. Do you think he's going to get a honeymoon this go around? And how much time do you think he has to actually implement, you know, his vision for America?
I mean, he needs to step in just like any elected official. You're only guaranteed the time that you have in office, and he needs to hop in and do it from day one. There shouldn't be any break in trying to change a lot of the policies under the Biden administration and making sure that Americans feel reprieve from inflation, making sure that we're respected abroad. There isn't time to waste, and I think the president should hit the ground running in every single objective as he moves forward.
All right. Dalton Glasscock, well, have fun there. They say the hotel rooms are hard to come by, and they cost an arm and a leg. Were you able to get a good place?
I'm sleeping on an air mattress at my friend's house, so don't worry, not spending our company's dollars. And,
well, that's kind of what I was getting around to. How much is this costing me?
I know. I cut straight to the chase, Todd. But I look forward to joining you on your show Monday at the inauguration. Maybe I can call in while I'm waiting. Actually, yeah, I'll call in while I'm waiting in line for the president's speech.
Sounds great. All right, keep us updated. Safe travels.
We'll talk soon. Bye.
All right. I feel a lot better about it now that I know I'm not having to pay for it. It's like $800 for a hotel room, and that's like at the cheap places, like, you know, Motel 6. Unbelievable. So anyway, we will be – so I was getting messages from folks, and I actually have the full timeline of how all of this is going to play out, and it's going to be a little tricky for us on radio because Trump is taking the oath of office right before the top of the hour, which is when we're on our network break. And then President Trump is going to be giving the inaugural address straight up at noon. Of course, we don't start this show till the 5 after the top of the hour. All that to say, we're going to cover it all. It'll be a little tricky, but we're going to be able to bring you a pretty much a good chunk of the inauguration as it happens on the radio. All right, we're going to keep you updated on this crazy story out of Georgia, and people are really upset about this, and MAGA World especially. Libs of TikTok just shared the video. Georgia House Speaker John Burns reportedly had State Senator Colton Moore arrested after he showed up to attend a session. And the video shows Moore being violently shoved to the ground. It really was a shove, folks. And apparently that was done by the doorkeeper of the Georgia House of Representatives. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. So we just got some audio from our friends in Georgia, and you're about to hear what happened as Senator Colton Moore tried to enter the chamber today, which was his right as a duly elected member of the State House. The rhinos who control the State House had banished him. And here's what it sounded like.
It has gone too far. I have an obligation to be in that room. I represent 200,000 people in Northwest Georgia who duly elected me to be here today.
And then he was put in handcuffs and he was taken to jail. 901-260-5926, our number. We have the video posted on my X feed, and you can watch it for yourself. It's pretty appalling, to be honest with you. Let's go to Terry in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Terry. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I'm out on the road today, and I was listening to your show and about what all's going on in Georgia and the rhinos. We have got a problem with Republicans who are bought and paid for it. That's my opinion. And this is never going to go away until the American people start standing up and saying enough is enough. If you go back and read our Declaration of Independence, what our founding fathers declared our independence, we're worse now than they ever were in their time. If they saw where we was at today, they'd be rolling over in their grave. And I know you know what happened up here in North Carolina as far as our big loss. We as far as federally, we won everything we wanted, you know, the conservatives did. But as far as the state goes, we lost everything. We lost the governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, several others. And part of the reason is, I believe, is we had conservative senators and representatives from Raleigh campaigning against Mark Robinson. And, of course, the Democrat Party used that, and they took their extra money and started tying these others like Weatherman and Bishop and Morrow, a couple of, they started tying them to Robinson, and we literally lost five major seats.
Oh, Terry, I have no doubt that happened, and I've got a little bit of firsthand knowledge on the efforts by rhinos in North Carolina to undermine Mark Robinson and his campaign. Now, look, ultimately, you know, Robinson had a lot of issues, and, you know, the Trump campaign pulled out at the end, and you can't blame them because they didn't know what the heck was going on, and they're not going to, you know, they needed to be able to win North Carolina. But again, when you look nationwide, Terry, we came very close to losing the House, the majorities we had in the House, and we came very close to almost losing control of the Senate. So that's how bad things are. Not healthy right now within the Republican Party.
No, well, part of that problem is the rhinos and our government. I listened to one of your ads or one of your commercials while I was waiting on you to pick up, and it was a health ad. And it said, we can't trust our government for our help. Well, Todd, we can't trust our government for nothing. And the bottom line is the American people are going to have to stop sitting around and being complacent and start getting involved and start making their voices heard. Our elected officials are not representing the will of the people anymore. And one of those I can attest to is I'm part of a pretty good sized group here in North Carolina. And I know that we had numerous, probably close to a couple hundred, called our senators about one took Mitch McConnell's place.
John Thune.
Yeah. People did not want him. They wanted Scott. And the bottom line is they were calling our senators, and basically the senators, didn't even, one voted for Thune and the other one voted for the other. They wasn't even listening to the will of the people. And some of my people called me and told me they wasn't even getting the voicemail no more. They wasn't even answering the phone. So they basically wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't take the calls of the people they were supposedly representing, and eventually turned it off altogether.
Well, Terry, we're going to have to take a stand here, and we're going to have to understand that just because somebody has an R behind their name doesn't necessarily mean they're a conservative. And that is something that all of us better wake up to around the country, the good people of Texas. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. We're going to try to get Beau French on the show tomorrow to talk about what happened down in Texas, where the rhinos conspired with the Democrats to put a rhino in charge of the House chamber there. So they're dealing with it in Texas. They're dealing with it in Georgia. And this Georgia situation is disgusting. And the more I watch this video, the more disgusted I get that a Republican would treat a fellow Republican like that. And I say this, I've said it locally. If the Republicans spent as much time fighting the Democrats as they do each other, we would be much better off as a country. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Congressman Andy Biggs coming up next. Everybody, good to have you with us. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend from the great state of Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs, represents the Fightin' Fifth. Is that what they call the district there, Congressman, the Fightin' Fifth?
Well, that's what we call it. That's right, the Fightin' Fifth of Arizona.
I love it. I like it. Congressman, it's got to be an exciting time to be an America First conservative in Washington, D.C.
It absolutely is. I mean, everything from working on something that we haven't really done in the whole time I've been here, and literally for decades, is how to stop the spending, slow it down, and then talking about how we're going to fix the border and putting the plans, getting them ready to go after President Trump's inaugurated, and then to see the great candidates, nominees, and their testimony and how they're owning the Democrats and exposing just how kind of leftist loony they are. It gives me the hope for normalcy and a return to America first, and it is awesome to be here.
It really cracks me up to watch some of these Democrats coming out of these hearings, and I think one of them was actually very complimentary of Pete Hegseth. Another for Pam Bondi. These are some of the most controversial nominees, and yet they're gaining Democrat support because of how well qualified and prepared they are.
100%. I mean, President Trump didn't give us any Pete Buttigieg's, or anybody that wasn't prepared, didn't know what they were doing. Pam Bondi's a very serious person. She's a very serious Attorney General of Florida, a lot of experience. Pete Hegseth, for whatever else you may say about him, the guy understands the military, he understands defense, and knows what it takes for America to regain its a stronghold. And that's going to take, by the way, basically a reorientation of the entire Department of Defense.
It's going to have to be. There is so much work that has to be done in the Defense Department, and I'm pretty confident that Hegseth is going to get that done. Do you share that confidence?
I do, because Pete understands clearly that war has changed. The generals that are there now, the flag officers that are there now, they're fighting the last war, or one from two wars previous. They're still wanting to build a lot of tanks and aircraft carriers, but a hypersonic missile, that's where we're going. It's hypersonic missiles, it's drones, it's asymmetric warfare. I mean, Pete understands that. He's been on the ground. He knows what it's like. And I'm real confident that you're going to see the culture shift that is necessary to move away from a metastasized military-industrial complex to a more nimble fighting force that has to be ready, because China's asymmetric right now, and we've got to be ready.
I don't know if you heard that report out from Tucker Carlson. He said sources are telling him those drones over New Jersey were actually Chinese. Are you hearing any rumblings of that at all, one way or the other? Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard the rumors. The briefings have been woefully inadequate, but I suspect that, the rumors are that they were from China, that China was testing our resolve. Even if they were launching them from within the U.S., it was done to test our resolve, our policy, our procedure. What do we do, And we didn't pass that test very well.
No, we didn't do anything. I mean, just like when they sent the balloon over.
Right. Yeah. And so we make ourselves vulnerable, and we are vulnerable. And I think the last 4 years have demonstrated when you have people who are incompetent at the top, and Afghanistan in reality was not just a black eye for us and all the material we left behind. That you gave up a whole country to a terrorist organization. It wasn't just that. It wasn't losing the 13 lives. It was telling the bad guys of the world, the aggressors of the world, hey, the U.S. is not ready, and the people who are leading them are not serious.
Mm. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend from Arizona, Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, you mentioned that the House Freedom Caucus stands ready to deliver the America First agenda. And part of that has to do with the reconciliation proposal that you guys are putting forward. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so what we put forward today is an acknowledgement. President Trump wants to lift the debt ceiling, but we want to make sure that there's not a big gap, right? We want to make sure that the spending goes down, that you're bending the spending arc down. So we've offered literally hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of spending cuts and rescissions in order to pay for the new programs that you need. And like we were just talking about, some defense programs that you have to change to, but also the border, making sure that Tom Holman and it looks like I hope it's Mr. Banks coming in,
to be the new Border Patrol chief. He's great, Border Czar of Texas. But if these guys come in, they have to have the resources to carry out the mandate that the American people gave to President Trump. And so that's in our proposal. And we want to get it done sooner rather than later. That's why we've staked out the position. We've been, you know, we've had closed doors meetings. We've offered this stuff, and now it's time. We want to stake out publicly. This is where we need to go in the first reconciliation bill.
Yeah, I like this. I know that you guys are getting a little bit of blowback, but the reality is we have got to stop spending money we do not have, and we've got to tighten the budget. You know, here's what gets me, Congressman, is I understand the DOGE committee's been assigned to remove about $2 to $3 trillion in spending. That's really just a drop in the pan, right? It needs to be a lot more than that. I'm glad we're starting there, but that's just hopefully the start of it.
Yeah, no, that's right. And look, I'm saying what you're referring to is what we're calling vote 218 or Project 218. But what I'm also want to tell you is that. We've got something called Trump 25. President Trump issued a budget, a 10-year budget, in right before he left office in 2021. And we are proposing the spending levels there. And if you propose those spending levels, they'll save you $1 trillion a year, Todd. For 10 years and beyond, but for 10 years, that's a $10 trillion savings. And if you start doing that, you will start bending the curve down because you just can't keep going where you are because that's a national security threat as much as a national economic threat.
Congressman, want to get your reaction to the vote today. You had, over 140 Democrats voting down a proposal that would have gotten rid of these illegals convicted of sex crimes. It's just they're not reading the room, are they?
No, they're not. No. So you have that. You have them voting. To keep women men and women's sports, those types of things. That's where they are, and it's being exposed. I wrote something that got published the other day, and I'm talking specifically about the Democrats. All that's left in the Democrats are the craziest leftists you can get, social leftists, economic leftists. They're Marxists, right? So they're not understanding that the American people rejected that. And it's time for them to come back to reality and, face the facts. And so we're seeing the pendulum move back to a more conservative economic front, more conservative social front. I mean, Americans rejected transgenderism and this recruitment and using taxpayer dollars for all of this type of social engineering. We rejected it. But the Democrats don't seem to see it. Those in Congress. I think out in the broader picture, I think there's a lot of Democrats around the country that see the difference, but not the folks in Congress.
Wow. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to let you get back to it. Dress warm Monday. Here's going to be a cold one.
8 degrees, my friend.
Jeez, hello. I'll crank the heat up for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs. Wow, 8 degrees. Dieter, are you sure you don't want to go? I told you I would send you to cover the inauguration.
No way. No way. It sounds, I mean, we have so many people from Memphis, Todd, that are planning on going. I mean, I want to watch it. I want to listen to it. Like you said, we'll be airing it live from the comfort of, 79 degrees. It's not that warm in here. That's my apartment. But nothing about standing out there for hours and hours and hours in single digits sounds appealing to me, Trump or not.
I've had to do that many times. It gets at some point you start to lose feeling.
See, and that's where hypothermia sets in. God. And that's your famous last words. I don't feel anything anymore. Thing you know, you're dead.
All right. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, Todd. You know, nothing bothers me more than when I hear about rhinos or friendly fire within the Republican Party. That's what's going on down there at Georgia State House. You know, we need to send a message to these Republicans that if they're not going to be America First team player Republicans, If they're going to have friendly fire and not seek folks on what they're there to do, we're going to primary them, and we're going to go scorched earth on them next time they're up for re-election. It seems like they promised us a big game, and then when it comes down to it, they just are not focused on what they need to be focusing on, and that's getting results for the American people. I'm sick of it, and we need to do something about it, and we need to make sure we remember this when these people are up for re-election.
Yeah, Connor, I'm with you. There better be some folks lining up for primaries. That's just unacceptable. And I see both sides here, but the reality is you can't be throwing members of your own party in jail for showing up to do their job at the state capitol. And that's what that guy was doing. Whether you like him or not, whether or not he's a jerk or a nice guy, that doesn't matter. He was elected by more than 200,000 of his constituents. He deserves to be there just like everybody else.
And you know what? Exactly. And those, the people of this district, they need to have a come to Jesus meeting with this this House Speaker they got down there. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, it is. All right, Connor, good hearing from you, friend. Let's go to our good buddy Joe in Ellijay. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I'll be real fast. I know you got a break coming up. I believe in freedom of speech, so I think, yes, the guy needs freedom of speech. But what I really called about, I am so excited about Trump taking office Monday. I think it's going to be the best time to buy stock in history with Musk coming in, cutting waste, with Trump there. I think this is going to be the greatest 4 years for the economy in the history of America, and I'm so glad you're covering it. And, boy, I tell you what, there are a lot of people really fired up down here in Ellijay, and we really appreciate you carrying the inauguration, and I'm going to have a hard time sleeping from now till Monday, but thank you for all you're doing, and go Trump, go, and I believe this. Never, I think we'll have the best stock market ever and the best economy, and thanks for all you're doing.
Well, Joe, thank you for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can tell you that much, my friend, and I can't wait. It's like waiting for Christmas Day. That's the feel. I haven't had this feeling, right? You remember that, Joe? You couldn't wait to see what Santa Claus brought you?
I'm with you. I'm fired up.
Ho, 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 America. All right, Joe, hang in there. Good hearing from you, my friend. It's true, though. I've never seen grown people so giddy. I was in the supermarket yesterday, and somebody said, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I was at church. I just can't wait, Todd. It's going to be so much. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I will say this, that it is going to take a little bit of time to get some of this stuff worked out. For example, our financial issues in America. When you look at the national debt, the last number, and I know this has gone up, what, $36 trillion, well over that now. And it looks like inflation is going to rise a little bit before it gets better. And that's even with President Trump working to fix all of this and undo a lot of the stuff the Democrats did, which is why you need to pay a pretty close attention to your savings. The market's a little chaotic, your 401k at risk, and that's why you need to start fortifying your retirement savings right now. And the way you can do that is with gold, a proven shield during uncertain economic times. Now, last year, gold outperformed S&P 500. They had 39 record highs. The price of gold climbed over 27%. Experts are predicting even bigger gains this year, and that's why I want you to go check out my friends over at Priority Gold. They're offering all of you a free wealth protection guide. Now, this is a step-by-step plan to fortify your savings with gold. There's absolutely no cost involved here, no obligation, and you're going to get instant delivery. All you have to do is text the word STARNES, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, text STARNES to 24999, or you can visit PriorityGold.com, and you're going to be able to get your free guide today. Again, text STARNES to 24999. We'll be right back. Wow. Folks are still really upset over Carrie Underwood. You know, she's going to be singing at the inauguration. America the Beautiful is the selection. Here's one of the TikTokers, very upset over all of this. Cut number 9.
Carrie Underwood, it appears we have lost you. Can I just say, I'm devastated. I loved I dug my keys into the side of it. But
just say, I saw you on New Year's Eve, Carrie, with TLC. I remember the days of American Idol when you used to kick it backstage with Fantasia and Ruben. Carrie, are they holding you hostage? Do we need to have a free Carrie sign at the inauguration? And you know what? Can I just say, if it's any more of you undercoverers, I need you to throw on that MAGA cap with your chest today, because I need at least 2 to 3 business days to grieve you. All this surprise attack? I wasn't ready for all that. Put that to rest.
A little pitchy, by the way. Probably not, doesn't have a future in the music industry, that gal. Look, Carrie Underwood is not coming out. As far as I know, she hasn't just come out there with a red ball cap on. And it doesn't matter. Does it really matter if she did? I don't think so. She's just a good singer. Now, as far as Taylor Swift goes, she just annoys people. I mean, that and, you know, God forbid you have, if you're a guy out there and Taylor Swift wants to take you out on a date, you got to say no, fellas. Otherwise, you're going to end up as a song, you know, the focus of one of her songs. She does that. And let's get real here. Would you rather be, you know, Team Carrie or Team Taylor Swift? And I think most right-thinking people are like, bring it on. Jesus, take the wheel. Unbelievable. All right. By the way, John Rich, he did a great job on yesterday's show. We've got the podcast. You got to go and listen to it. Head over to the website and download the podcast. John Rich just spoke truth to Nashville, telling all you conservative country music stars, stop it. Get out there. Be proud of who you are. Don't hide in some sort of a political closet. Get out there and be loud and be proud. That's what John Rich has to say. What is it? Instead of you, all you good old boys, stop being sissy boys. That's what John Rich. I think it's a great call to action. All right, folks, don't forget 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax. We have a great show lined up for you. Rob Bluey's going to be here from the Daily Signal. Also, Congressman Rich McCormick from Georgia. Congressman Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin is going to join us. And we're also going to be talking to the father of a hostage being held by Hamas. All of that tonight, 5 o'clock. Watch us on Newsmax 2. It's going to be a great show. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. You be good, America.